movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Campbell. I am your host this afternoon for the Watchman for Jesus program, brought to you by Watching for Jesus Network. We're all one the same. Family, today I'm going to focus solely on the veterans. I am one. A Marine Corps veteran, got out as a captain. 12 years, Gummer Contracting, Kuwait. In 95-94, Saudi Arabia 95-96 to 99, Kosovo under a UN contract. I work for the enemy, OSCE and the UN. Oh, I appreciate the job, thank you very much, but y'all lied. And you damaged your own people, UN and OSCE, at the highest level. It's always the highest level. In the Congo, under a State Department project, as a project manager for an intelligence project. Working with MPRI. Oh, that was interesting. I've been around a while. I've been in these places. So I'm not speaking. I didn't fall off a turnip truck yesterday. And I'm owned by nobody. I have my own. Except Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't go with any allegiances, any oaths, any of that nonsense. I believe in telling the truth. If the oath causes me to lie, I'm going against the oath. I'll renounce the oath, and I will tell the truth. The truth comes before any silly oath that you take or allegiance. The truth comes first, no matter what. Generals and colonels and master sergeants and congressmen and CEOs, if you live a lie, you disgrace your uniform. How can you uphold your uniform when you lie? And you take a blood oath in the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars. You take a blood oath against America. It's time people knew this. To get out of it, you renounce it. Freemasons, you renounce that doggone oath. You're no longer obliged to some silly six-year-old oath that results in the death of thousands and millions of people because you all start the wars. You all start the wars. You all run the Council of Foreign Relations, a house of butchers. And the Jesuits, another house of butchers. Literally. Time the American people knew. Well, if I have to, I'll go again tomorrow. Part 10 of the Rules of Engagement and the, what I call the Veterans Genocide. Veterans Genocide has been going on since 1950. It's an untold secret that nobody's touching. People have talked about it, but they don't connect the dots of the bigger picture. And I'm hoping the bad guys hear my broadcast and they'll realize the crap pot that they've developed for themselves and where they're headed and all the good deeds in the world that they do. Don't care what they do. All the good deeds won't keep them out of hell. Literally. Because we're coming to that point. Maybe someone will get the courage to renounce the oath under that they took under God to tell a lie. Can you imagine? And then you go to church? How's that work? Or mass or whatever you want to call it. Jesus Christ is not about church or religion. He's about your salvation. He's your redemption. Not church, not some religion. People worship the religion and not Jesus. How's that work too? The only Bible is the King James Bible. The only truth you're going to get. They keep saying there's others and there's not. And they can't prove a doggone lick. They keep debating. They go around in circles. Nobody wins anything. The bad guys get to spout off their nonsense. Let's call it what it is. Well, family, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast and then I'm going to get started here. But you thought I already started, didn't you? I haven't yet. I got a show for you today. And if I have to, I go until tomorrow. Doggone, I go into next week, too. I'm going to get this out one way or the other. And it is recorded. I do send it out to a very large audience. I got a worldwide audience, by the way. Not just local. Mm-mm. No. It's not just about America, either. I'm not anti-American. I joined for only one reason when I joined the Marine Corps, is to fight. It's the only reason I joined, and to fight for my country and protect my family and all that sort of thing. Then I found out it was nothing of the sort. Boy, that made me mad. I didn't find that out till actually 6 or 7 years ago, what really was going on. And I know what's going on today. Remember our agreement, listening audience. Don't believe a word I say, but challenge everything I say. Challenge it, man. Go after it. Research it. Find something wrong with it, please. I want you to. Never take one person's word for anything, especially now. Challenge everything. Think on your own. Don't depend on any talk show, any host, any TV, any president, general, colonel, admiral. It don't make one lick of difference. You find out for your own. Stop being lazy. Get away from that TV. Start researching. Search out. Be an individual. But Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It is only through him is this conspiracy going to be solved. And family, it's called the tribulation. It's coming. There's no stopping it. When? Nobody knows when. So live your lives not in fear and worry, but in service of the Lord Jesus Christ is where you live your life. He never guides you wrong. But you got to maintain that relationship. He died for it, rose with it. And he's coming back. Said he would. He's fulfilled every promise. The King James Bible is more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. It's not a book of history. Even in the Old Testament, it's a book of prophecy that's yet to be fulfilled. Even the Old Testament. How'd they do that? Unless they were guided by the Spirit. Let's dedicate the broadcast, family, and I'm really anxious to get started. Lord, we come today before you in prayer. Father, we dedicate this program. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity you've given us to reach others. Father, the spreading the Great Commission, Lord, that we could spread the Word of God to folks, Lord, through your Holy Word contained in the King James Bible. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. The Father gives us eternal life. Through him, we're saved. Father, we call upon you today to touch those with the Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Father, use that Holy Spirit to touch others as they hear the gospel, no matter where they are. Holy Spirit, to touch their hearts and guide them in the right direction with divine appointments. Those divine appointments to confirm or to lead someone to Jesus. To soften the hearts, Lord, no matter what it takes. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for an awakening of sort. Father, we pray for the awakening of leaders, of world leaders, of our country's leaders, our military leaders, to have the courage to step away from their blood oaths and their allegiances toward their lives and start telling the truth about what's going on, Father, behind the scenes. To do the right thing. To convict their hearts. Father, to put a heavy burden upon their heart to lessen their sleep. Father, whatever it takes to bring them the conviction to tell the truth. To then give them rest. But Father, we have a lot of work to do. We need the full armor of God, Father. We pray upon us that full armor of protection as we preach, teach, learn, share. And Father, we pray for an awakening of these churches to bring them the true word of the gospel through Jesus Christ. And for these preachers to get away from the pulpit and start teaching the truth. To get away from these corrupted Bibles and get back to the King James. To have the courage to step away from the councils and committees and from religion, but get with Jesus. To put religion aside and put Jesus on top. Father, we pray for the healings, bringing families together. And Father, to give us that wisdom and discernment to see through these end times events, that the Holy Spirit will guide us to the truth as we watch these events unfold. Because deception is becoming greater. That's why, Lord, we need the truth from the Spirit. And we pray in this manner. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, well, yesterday, I had mentioned that they're really amazing. Four newscasters are dead in 24 hours. Four. And I mentioned one named Tim Russert. And he started exposing it very subtly on his radio program, on his Meet the Press. Yeah. He was trained as a Jesuit. And why? Because they control the airwaves. But as I played you yesterday, his interview with Bush, and his, listen carefully, and his cousin carry as they play each other on either side. Well, this president, they're talking about cousins. Man, it's such a farce. It's so absurd. It's like we're watching a soap opera on TV scripted out. When you know they're cousins and they play this stupid game. And Cheney is a cousin. I mean, real cousins. I'm not talking about Adam and Eve, we're all cousins. I mean, they're in the same bloodline, family. They're in the same bloodline. All the presidents are. Okay. So Cheney, connected to Halliburton. Remember that. Cheney, heavily connected to Halliburton. Used to be director of the Council of Foreign Relations, those murderers. At the highest level, you have some good people that work for all these organizations that don't have a clue, man. Not one clue. Well, Tim Russert was a sweetheart up in for the Buffalonians from Buffalo. He was a good person. And he was subtle. Questioning Kerry, who, by the way, Brooklyn Connection, a video that came out, Krasniqi brought it out about the KLA, Albanian KLA. You can see, I got three copies. You can see where the Albanian mafia and former KLA members are writing checks. You can watch them write checks for Kerry's campaign in a fundraiser. You can watch them. You can watch them write, and they tell them, yeah, write $1,000 down. The video backfired. You got Wesley Clark there. You got Holbrook speaking. You got Wesley Clark. I said Holbrook. You got, oh my gosh. I'm surprised I didn't have a Elvis Presley lookalike come in. He had all the KLA members there. They even admit it when they're at this fundraiser. You can listen to them talk about the war in Kosovo. The Albanian mafia. Writing checks for Kerry's campaign. Yeah, man. Maybe I'll put it up one day. The Brooklyn Connection, made by Krasniqi. What a spider. What a web they weave. And even the bad guys will be targeted when this thing goes down. The veterans are targeted now. And the veterans have been targeted since 1950. I'm going to talk about that today, and doggone it tomorrow if I have to. I'm going to lay it out. Cheney, Halliburton. Tim Russert, as I was going to tell you, and I was telling you, interviewed Kerry and Bush about 322. Ooh, that was a no-no on the air. And then they tried to change the subject in 322. And I told you what 322 really meant. That's their secret society, Rosicrucian, like Ron Paul is. He's another liar, fake patriot, just like Jerry Boykin and Ventura and all the rest of them. They couldn't hold a candle to Chris Kyle or Pat Tillman or none of them. That's really real Americans, real heroes. And those that say that Chris Kyle wasn't a hero, they have no clue what they're talking about, and that includes military. Chris Kyle was a hero. To Pat Tillman, and you can't compare the two either, though. Well, we'll get to that. But Tim Russert nailed down very subtly, did it very well, about 322, which means in Genesis 3, verse 22. That's their secret number. And what it really means is Genesis 3:22 was men become as gods. That's always been the plan of the Rosicrucian, skull and bones, these secret societies. They actually believe they're going to advance to the next level of human existence and evolution and become gods. These are grown men that lead nations, start wars on both sides of the ocean, believe they're going to be gods. How can they be that dumb? And they lead the country? Lord have mercy. Anyway, so I found something else you might find interesting about Tim Russert. See, that there's a lot about him people don't know. How about this? You'll find this real interesting.
Have you been hunting since February 11th, 2006?
No, sir. That was the end of the season.
No more hunting?
No, Cheney. I didn't see that at all, but no, I have not hunted since then, but I ordinarily wouldn't anyway.
Will you go out and hunt again?
I do. I will.
Have you gotten over that incident?
Well, yeah, I don't know that you ever get over it. Fortunately,
2006.
Harry's doing very well. Harry Whittington.
You've talked to him?
Yes, I have. And he's a good man, and he could not have been more gracious or more generous. But it's not the kind of thing I don't think anybody could ever forget.
Should I be relieved you didn't bring your shotgun in today?
I wouldn't worry about it. You're not in season.
Mr. Vice President, I hope I never am.
Right.
Thank you for sharing your views.
Thank you, Tim.
Ooh-wee. He got a shot in there, didn't he? He got a shot in there.
Should I be relieved you didn't bring your shotgun in today?
I wouldn't worry about it. You're not in season.
That's Bush. Halliburton. Any questions about why Tim Russert died? Heart attack, stroke. You know, there's a definition that not a well-known truth teller, but William G. Carr, Red Fog of America. This might give you a little hint of what I'm heading to. He's got definition, 1955, Red Fog Over America, and this stands today. Definition are two. One's called a black book. A black book, quote, is a book in which the directors of the international conspiracy kept a record of the private lives of influential people together with a detailed report of their characteristics, their faults and failings. The information is used to, quote-unquote, persuade people into doing the bidding of the conspirators, either because of fear of exposure or for the sake of obtaining more luxury and material rewards, unquote. That covers one side, but this one is what I want to focus on. Trained from birth, literally, or what's called nihilist, N-I-H, I-L-I-S-T-S, nihilist. In the definition of the New World Order and the Illuminati, here's what they are, who they are. Quote, the executioners used by all conspirators who aspire to control of the world dictatorship. History reveals that these assassins are to be found in all classes of society. They try, if possible, to make the murders they commit look like accidents, suicides, or natural death, unquote. Hint, hint. They got ways to kill you that you would not even imagine. Tim Russert was testimony Gibbert, Scooter, Libby. He exposed Cheney, Kerry, and Bush very subtly. Some other things he did. They said, that boy's got to go. They took him out. There's no doubt about that. Can I prove it from my own little place? No. I don't have any documents say we killed Tim Russert. When you put the things together and you connect the dots, it's pretty clear what they did. What's going on today, not only are some of these like Russert are targeted, but so are veterans. Cheney is just another one.
A special televised meeting of the New York-based Council on Foreign Relations provides a window to the real story. The speaker, Vice President Dick Cheney, takes a question from David Rockefeller.
Vice President, I just enjoyed so much your whole speech, but I was particularly pleased that you gave such a strong endorsement for the free trade agreement for all the Americas, subject that has been of great concern to me for many years, and particularly recently, and I think it's absolutely essential for the strength of our economy.
Rockefeller's role in the drive for an FTAA was a lot more central than he portrays. Rockefeller cultivated Latin American leaders who could be counted on to support such a proposal. Both the 1994 Miami Summit and the FTAA proposal were conceived and nurtured by a Rockefeller-created network. Prominent among the organizations sponsoring the Miami event were the Council of the Americas, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller, the Americas Society, chairman, David Rockefeller, the Forum of the Americas, founder, David Rockefeller, the Institute for International Economics, financial backer and board member, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller. Rockefeller's influence also extends to the current administration. He was chairman emeritus of the CFR when Vice President Dick Cheney once served as a director, a relationship that Cheney concealed during his congressional career.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
They make a big deal out of it because they know they don't expect people to pick up on that. Council of Foreign Relations literally is responsible for every death, literally, of our veterans in World War II. Oh, yeah. And Korean War. You can blame it on the Council of Foreign Relations. Working with the enemy. Oh, yeah. No question about that. Now, I'm going to start focusing down. And I'm going to start heading toward that direction here as I'm laying the groundwork. Cheney, Halliburton, if you do a little search there, you'll find a serious connection to the royal family in Saudi Arabia. I was in Saudi Arabia working, training the National Guard, the Saudi National Guard. They don't look at the National Guard the same way you do here. They were like two bloodlines that protected the royal family, and they were different from the Air Force, Army, and the other groups because the royal family of Saud in power today, not even Arab, they're from Jewish merchants. Yeah. They're pretend Muslims. They were placed there going back to FDR and Faisal and all kinds of nonsense they put up with. The oil. I talked about that yesterday. Now, we come up to their defense contractors. And even Blackwater now admits they work with CIA. Everybody's admitting all this stuff now. We've been saying it for a long time. Have we not? I want to focus on what I call veterans genocide. And that's what it is. I'm not hearing anybody these days on these broadcasts, these radio programs. They're not touching the truth, man. Doggone it. And if they're good people on the networks and broadcasting, radio, and whatever, if they're good people and they're deceived, then get your head out of your butt and start learning what the truth is. Don't be afraid to say it. That there is an attack toward our veterans that is directive, objective, to take us out. Started in Korea. I've explained this for the past 6 years. This past week I have. It's not accidental. The suicides are being generated, orchestrated, and planned out. Why would they do this? I'll tell you why, veterans. Because there's coming a North American Union. And you all that went over to Vietnam, went over to Iraq, Afghanistan, fighting for liberty and protecting the family and protecting their America and all this sort of thing. You would never go for a North American Union now, would you? And you'd never approve of the UN moving their troops in here now, would you? No. Well, they know that too now. They confirmed it in 1993 with a 40-question quiz test, questionnaire, excuse me. They gave to 1,000 Marines in Twin Palms, California. I got a copy of it. To test and see if these Marines would wear the blue beret of a UN, or would they fire on American citizens and so forth. There's like five questions of the 40. It's very sneaky. like they sneak around with our children with that values clarification nonsense they come up with to brainwash your children in school. Sneaky. I've covered that last week. They do the same thing to our servicemen. I'm tempted to go back over the Korea and World War II and all that, but I've done it already. I want to focus on the veterans' genocide today. My past broadcasts are labeled, and you want to hear that other, you can go back and listen to the archives, because I cover it extensively. But now, they're coming to a 26 suicides per day, and they've got groups out there, committees that's trying to curb it, but family, it's a lie. Paul Rykoff, who's a former veteran, can you imagine? For example, heading a committee that since 2006 supposed to curb the suicides, all they're doing is slowing it down. Slowing down any progress is what they're doing. They want our veterans dead because they don't want any interference with the North American Union. This goes back to the Korean War and Vietnam War. It's all been planned out when they had Agent Orange. That was to give them cancer, the baby boomers, to take them out. It wasn't accidental, don't you know that? They used the barrels as shower heads. The barrels that contained dioxins. They used them as shower heads to make sure they got enough cancer that when they get back, they'd die. The Gulf War syndrome was a virus created in a laboratory. Part of the Ebola and HIV was created in a laboratory, Fort Detrick, Maryland, 1979. Fort Detrick, Maryland created the virus HIV. They created it. You understand this? It's not a God disease given to the homosexuals. That's a Pat Robinson, who's a 33rd degree Mason, a lie he puts out. That 700 Club thing. They're full of nonsense, too. Absolutely. It's infested with Freemasons at the highest level. So is TBN. The Copeland, Joyce Myers, Osteen, those guys. Prosperity teaching. Oh, I can prove every word of it. By their own words. Now back to the veterans. Halliburton is just one more method by which they're taking us out. So let's do this. How about this one?
It was quick. I mean, within 2 weeks of sending in my application online, I was in Houston getting ready to fly over to Iraq. So I went over there, and that's when my eyes were opened. Within the first day that I was in Iraq, I started to see just incredible waste and compromised safety standards. Al-Assad was where I saw the first violation of basic water purification procedure. One of Halliburton's employees said he saw something wiggling in the water in his toilet bowl, some kind of critter, and he wanted me to go look at it. So I went to the guy's hooch, and I looked, and I saw what looked to me like some kind of larva in the water moving, and I couldn't be if there was chlorine in the water. So I opened up that chlorine test kit and I tested the water right there in his hooch, and there wasn't any chlorine in it at all, none. And I didn't want the guy to panic or the manager to panic, so I maintained my composure and I said, I've got to go test this in other spots. So I went and tested our water storage tanks, none. There was no chlorine in them, none. Of the 67 water treatment plants that Halliburton was getting paid to run, 63 of them weren't providing safe water. The water we showered in every single day was extremely contaminated. And when I talk about contaminated water, I'm saying malaria, typhus, giardia, cryptosporidium. I mean, the list is really, really long. You're at greater risk for pathogens from bathing because you've got such a greater exposure area. through your eyes, your skin, any cut. And the Marines are showering in it every single day. Sorry. These young kids need to be told. They need to. Because they trust. Some of the diseases that they were exposed to can affect more than just them. They can contaminate their family, you know. It's going to be a big problem. I'm here today because I want the American public to know what's happening. There's a lot of soldiers over there. They might come home without a bullet wound, but there's a lot of them that are going to come home with pathogens in their blood because of Halliburton. And they don't even know to get tested for it unless somebody tells them. And I'm sure Halliburton is not going to be the company to tell them.
Need to get tested when you come back. The ones in control in every single country. The leaders are not for the people. The leaders are for the secret societies. Wars are controlled. The battles are managed by rules of engagement, not strategy. And always has been. We lost the Revolutionary War. We remained a colony. Debt under debt since 1789. King George III was the Prince of the United States of America Incorporated. We lost the Civil War. How do you win a war when you fight each other? Popery is blamed as causing the war by Abraham Lincoln, in quote I gave you yesterday. They put the French on the south and the Germans on the north to make sure we fought and died and killed each other. Nothing's changed today. The UN's here now. They control our government. They happen to have a headquarters in New York, yeah, y'all. Hello. Sinking of the Maine to get us standard, get ready to fight the wars already planned before 1871, and was a false flag. Got that by quote, confirmed as well, to justify setting up a standing army. Edward Bernays coined the word fight for freedom. With the State Department, controlled by the CFR and controlled by the popery, again, made sure that communists stayed in power. Starting in the 1950s. The World Wars were planned before even 1871 by Albert Pike, a Freemason. These are facts. I'm not telling you speculation, conspiracy theory. These are facts. So we got a standing army, and before World War I, heck, we didn't win that neither. Had a lot of killing. Made it look like we won it, but we didn't. Nobody won that war except the globalists. Rockefellers made $200 million off of it. World War II is a continuation of it. That's all it was. It's just a continuation. From Bismarck to Hitler. Poop, that simple. League of Nations didn't achieve the New World Order. Just keep on moving. Keep on going. We funded the Bolshevik Revolution. We funded Hitler 100% through Wall Street. That's confirmed. It's a fact. Controlled by the Vatican. Those murderers, man, the Vatican, the Jesuits, don't even work for the Vatican, by the way, if they ain't telling you it's true. So World War II, he didn't win that neither. We won the battles. Some of them didn't even have to be fought. We won the battles. Even though they gave us substandard tanks in Europe that almost didn't match up at all, the Panzers. Six phases planned by the elite was supposed to put the world in New World Order and America under a dictatorship, confirmed by FDR, March of 4th, 1939. His own statement, family. He's going to put us under a dictatorship. FDR, Adolf Hitler, Churchill, Japanese elite were working together. Were working together. They planned Pearl Harbor in 1920. I found in macrophage an exercise that was conducted in 1932 to see how close they could get to Pearl Harbor in practicing for it. Oh, yeah. I got the details, man. I got all the details. They worked together. Stalin, Churchill, Adolf Hitler, second cousins, under Rothschild. That's a fact. And Queen Elizabeth II. Of the Merovingian bloodline, House of Windsor. Man, they're all connected. Prince Philip. Talked about that yesterday. It's all planned out. So the attack on our veterans, they needed us to fight. They needed that camaraderie and that, they needed that spirit decor and protect our families and all that sort of thing up to World War II. When you go over to war, you're going to fight those darn Germans. Yeah, well, same thing for them too, though, by the way. Hitler sacrificed them just like FDR sacrificed our troops. Now, they worked together. You understand this? They had planned a world dictatorship in six phases. Churchill, blamed for the death, willful murder of all those aboard the Lusitania. That's fact. All swept on the carpet. Now, back to our troops. Y'all getting the picture here? So, they had to get us out of the picture beginning in 1950 was beginning the takedown. They knew it had to undo a whole generation of baby boomers, had to be gone. The idea starting in Vietnam, Korean Vietnam, was to reduce the life expectancy. To reduce the life expectancy of our veterans. Starting in 1950, the baby boomers who received the pass on of the family unit and the sovereignty of the nation and rah, 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 and all that stuff. They wanted to get rid of that. That's what 1950 and 60 is all about. A complete shock to our culture by design. Now back to our troops. So you see, get an idea why they're targeting our troops. There's a movie out called Trooper. And film critic Roger Ebert says, like an empathy machine, their mission was to help understand a bit more about others' hopes or fears and dreams. And movies allow people to walk in others' shoes, as long as it's true. Help us to identify with the people who are sharing the journey with us. If you're not over in combat, you're hoping to get a movie that will at least come close to showing you how it really is. Well, the director, Chris Martini, took the mission to heart, and his grandfather served in World War II, his uncle in Vietnam, and Martini was inspired by post-war struggles and was angered that the struggle of soldiers following war received minimal media exposure. Today, I'm telling you why. Because they're targeted. Well, this Trooper, this movie, it's described by critics as a beautiful, heart-wrenching film that offers far more than empathy. It actually challenges viewers to explore a disturbing corner of the Iraq War. We have today the sniper, Chris Kyle, the movie about him, that Freemason, Clint Eastwood, brought up, and he brought it up, he did the film, he produced the film, directed it, whatever you want to call it. And he agrees that it was for the anti-war and to single out Chris Kyle. Even Clint Eastwood now agrees to that. Clint Eastwood is a liar. Clint Eastwood is not American at all. I'm telling you right now. He did the film so they could take pot shots at Chris Kyle. These people are sneaky, how they do things. In this film, The Trooper, he talks about depleted uranium poisoning. You know, that's infected thousands of Iraqi veterans without being acknowledged. They made the hulls of some about 100 tanks out of depleted uranium. Oh, yeah, protect the tank. But here's the problem. When that tank is hit by rounds, it activates the depleted uranium. It's no longer depleted. When you have rounds made by depleted uranium and it hits something, it activates the uranium. And they know that, too. The film follows Murphy O'Shea Martini, a specialist who returns home from Operation Iraqi Freedom to a New York City suffused with sunshine and tranquility. His friends welcome him home, but this specialist feels that he's locked out of the joy and clouded by odd illness, unquote. So the doctor to local VA gives him some pills, tells him it's, quote, just some post-traumatic stress, unquote. Well, here's a problem. The grueling headaches, chronic diarrhea, and some bizarre burns on his shoulder hint that something else is going on. He goes out to his father, a Vietnam vet who tries to insist, but struggling with his own illness from Agent Orange. Now you know why. Designed that way. He reaches out to his brother, who's trying to serve in Iraq, and can do a little help over the phone. Finds himself in a fight for his life and trying to figure out what's wrong with him. What we can do to fix it. Trooper's been released on various media, iTunes, Xbox, Vimeo. I recommend seeing it. Family, these people out here, our Joint Chief of Staff, if you generals would get together and forget about your careers for God's sake and think about what's really real, if you get together, what can they do? Not a revolution, that's nonsense. Because of your group, you take a private investigator and you find out who's a Jesuit and who's a Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus or Rhodes Scholar, and you get them out of there. You march them out of your meetings. I don't care if it's an admiral or a four-star general. It don't matter. Just tell him to get his butt up and get out. And I mean this literally, because they are liars. They've taken a blood oath against you. Now, I recommend you can do it right now if you want to. Right this second, you can look on your computer and pull up the blood oath that the Knights of Malta take, the oath of the Knights of Malta, and they'll tell you right there. The oath of the Knights of Columbus and the oath of the Rhodes Scholars. That's where the allegiance lies. Now, I don't care if you're a one-star general and you know the two-star general from when you were in command and staff college or lieutenants. It don't matter. Once he took that oath, he is not your friend anymore. He is your enemy. I don't care if you've had 10 barbecues with him. They play that role. And they're good at lying because their allegiance is to the secret society. And the secret society is allegiance to the Vatican. And the Vatican is controlled by the Illuminati that led to this New World Order to promote the North American Union. And they see it as the ends justify the means. That's how they view it. The greater good, baloney, is how they're brainwashed. And they're a part of it. Well, what they don't realize is, according to Protocols Chapter 15, X-Ray Victor, of the Protocols of Learned Design, which is a Jesuit document, goes back to 1700s, that they're under control of today. Chapter 15 says that they're going to execute all Freemasons that know too much, and all those under will die as if by some illness. They'll never know the death sentence that's been pronounced upon them, unquote. And it will happen. When they're done with you, they're going to kill you. I don't care if you're a four-star general. I don't care if you're a lieutenant. I don't care if you're a master sergeant. No matter. Or a congressman or whatever you are. No matter. They're going to kill you. When they're done with you, you die. So now, you can tell whoever you want to I said that, because it is an international program, by the way. Let's move on now. And everything I tell you, check it out. Now, on this movie Trooper, it'd be good if that movie there would actually stir people up. If it actually makes some kind of, somehow, someone of control would say, you know, I'm not doing this anymore. That's what it would take. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to start telling the truth. And they say, John, you can't do that, man. No, I'm going to do it. Then you get somebody else to go with you. Then somebody else to go with you. And you all get together and start telling the truth and expose it. If you have to go on Block Talk Radio, whatever it takes, something to get the truth out. Because you're not going to be supported. We're coming to a middle ground here. We're coming to a peak. The truth is going to come out. There's nothing they can do to stop it, but who's going to be the one to do it? I don't know. Now, this movie Trooper, I'm going to try to find you. I wasn't prepared to play a trailer for it. But I think there's a trailer for this movie. And I'd like to play that trailer for you so you can hear it. I'll find it here in a minute. I don't have it right now in front of me. I wasn't planning on actually playing that trailer. I may find it here shortly. Now just bear with me here just a second. All right, I think I got it here. Here we go. Because, family, I'm trying to expose this, and I have been for 6 years. I've been hitting it hard, trying to get this out in my own way. And I ended up with my own broadcast, my own network. That was a roundabout way, and a lot of people know the background on how that happened. Well, here we go.
Ever keep your father waiting like that again, you little bastard?
How about my hero, son?
Are you staring at my shamrock?
What is that?
Someone.
To the Murph, welcome home.
Welcome home, Murph.
You're going out to see a girl, aren't you?
No.
Well, maybe you should go see a girl, because all you're doing here all day is sitting around jerking off.
All you do is sit here and eat and watch television.
I really love you, Murphy. I do. But we can't be together.
What'd you do over there for fun?
Yeah, man, did you get to take anybody out?
Whoa, calm down.
A lot of guys were saying it's a depleted uranium.
Take a look at these brochures. I'm post-traumatic stress disorder.
You're stressed, that's it.
Sick, just like you.
That's great. I get to dig your grave. You get to dig mine.
I got a lawyer.
Good.
He's going to represent us.
Very good.
I love this country. I'm not going to piss on it.
What kind of a country doesn't take care of its warriors when they come back home, Murph?
You sign the dotted line to quit your bitching.
Dog tags, were you in Iraq?
We need to go to the VA to get tested for DU.
Do you know what happens to people when they blow the whistle? They yank your benefits!
What benefits? They don't want to pay you, bro. But they have to. You gave for your country. It's about time they start giving back to you.
I'm in the dark and dark. Walk proud, Murphy. You put in your time, you're a fucking hero, copy?
Me and my unit.
Is it in your head? And you gotta get it out of your head. You hear me? Get it out of your head!
I'm here for you. And you're here for me.
You wanna talk about weapons of mass destruction? Look at me. My life is over.
Everybody's got a reason.
He's dying, Finn.
Well, that's what soldiers do, brother. They die.
Family, lots going to be starting to come out. Lots going to start coming out. They can't stop the truth. But how much you go? How many people are not going to get the truth where they can do themselves some good if they start facing up to the truth? To learn the truth of what's going on out here. I was in the Marine Corps 12 years. I was a lieutenant, TBS, had several platoons, several companies, commanding officer. I served as commanding officer of Alpha Company, 1st Battalion, Recruit Training Depot, Parris Island, South Carolina. I was commanding officer of Alpha Company. I served up in Buffalo, New York as recruiting operations officer. I served in the fleet, 2 med cruises, all between 1975 and 1987, in between the wars. So, I can tell you now, you have to train your Marine to fight and to kill. That's just the bottom line, to get him to come back. You can't be wishy-washy about it. Marines go in first. We're only for one reason, man. There's only one reason for Marines. That's to kill. The citizens are shock troops, man. Go in, take care of business and get replaced and move out. This police action is a bunch of nonsense. But that's what the UN and our government kowtows to set us up and take us out for defense spending, making money off of our blood. But the idea is to reduce the effectiveness of the U.S. military, to set up for a new world order, North American Union. That's what it's all about. They know we won't accept UN subjugation, so they got to kill us since 1950. Now, you have to train them to kill. Now, in the old-fashioned way, was man to man. Never kill women and children. But that all changed in Vietnam, and that was by design. They started using women and children. Our CIA helped set our people up to die. I proved that too by glycerol factory we gave to Russia, the Agent Orange, to start the cancer. Anti-war demonstrators were paid by the tax-free foundations. They were trained to be anti-war, to destroy the morale as they come back by design. Drugs to make sure they're available. Drugs coming out of Vietnam was what it was about too. Use the Vietnamese as guinea pigs. They're going to do the Iraqi. But main thing was to get rid of the baby boomers. To set up for the next generation of soldiers that would be subjugated under the UN. This is the big picture. To do that, you got to kill the Korean vets off, Vietnam vets got to die, the Iraqi vets got to have their head and hearts changed, and kill them off too, so there'll be no resistance. So you militia out there, and getting back to the Republic and fight for our country and all that stuff, you better know what you're up against and stop all this nonsense. You better do a real intelligence estimate, because you're not getting it. And people that's infiltrated into your units of militia that are members of Freemasons and Knights of Malta at the highest level of admirals and generals that say, we're going to revolt against this Obama administration, they're setting you up for a fall, and they are liars. Because they're setting you up like they tried to do General Butler in 1933. It's a setup. They're setting you up for fail. The Korean War was planned to fail. Vietnam War was planned to fail by using the rules of engagement to make sure we did not win. Because they knew we would. They will make sure we didn't. Am I making an impact on anybody? Is this really working? Am I getting across anything to anybody? Sometimes I wonder. I really do. I'm not going to stop, but I just wonder if I've gotten to some of these generals or gotten to some of these admirals or some colonel that's got some control that's just going to say, I'm tired with this. I'm going to start telling the truth. Renounce your blood oath. Get out of this stupid secret society nonsense like a bunch of six-year-old kids running around with handshakes and all this nonsense, killing off our troops. You're cowards. Every doggone one of you. Because you're not going to make the New World Order. It will not last. I promise you that. It won't happen. They're lying to you. Well, that being said, the Marines' strict rules of engagement you know, there was those that deployed to Afghanistan. That's where they're bringing drugs from, you know. They don't want our troops talking about that. We have the utmost, we all have been trained, and you have to train those Marines to kill. And what I was going to tell you about is during the Vietnam War, children would come up and throw a grenade in your lap. Put cream shave, glass shavings in your Coca-Cola. Say, here, GI, take Coca-Cola. It was children and women. We're trained not to kill women and children. So when you had to, you have to do it. When you got a kid coming up with a grenade, what are you going to do? Oh, here comes a kid. He's going to throw a grenade. Well, we all got to die. We're not going to shoot a kid. Man, you're tortured. You're torn. It's either you just saying, well, we all got to die now. We can't run fast enough. Hey, kid, go ahead and throw it. No, you got to kill the kid. You see? So don't blame the soldier. Don't blame the Marine. Blame the Council of Foreign Relations. Blame the elite. Blame the secret societies. Now you get somewhere. Don't blame Chris Kyle. Don't blame Pat Tillman. Don't blame the individual soldiers coming back off the plane. Man, what's wrong with you all? We all learned to trust our superiors, our country, fight for freedom, and all that sort of thing. Well, that's not what it's about at all. Not even remotely. Chris Kyle and the rest went over there fight for the country and fight for the family and all that sort of thing. That's how I trained my Marines. Oh, yeah. I tried to make it as realistic as possible. Almost got in trouble for it, too. Back then, when I was a lieutenant, I had a great company commander. I ain't going to mention his name because, you know, I don't think it's the right thing to do. But he was Force Recon, and he was a great commander. And we trained, and I trained my platoon, he trained his company, as realistic as possible. Almost got in trouble for it. Firing live mortars over the heads and live gunfire over the heads. They didn't like that back in the 70s. We did it anyway. As realistic as possible. Hand to hand, as realistic as possible. So they would come home. Sorry. That's all I had in my mind. And even then, in 76 or 77, it never occurred to me that we'd end up having to kill women and children if we ever went to war. But I knew that if I ever had to, and I thought about it on occasion, I'd have to do it. You have to do it. If they're going to bring a grenade and to kill you, you have no choice. So it conflicts with your training. Consequently, it does exacerbate your post-traumatic stress. And that's why they did it. That's why the tactics changed. They controlled the enemy. The Council of Foreign Relations, the CIA, the Mossad, the KGB, all of them I mentioned. They worked together. Sounds crazy, don't it? But it's actually true. Don't blame the soldier and Marine. You don't blame them. You better start blaming the right people. You're into this Republican, Democrat nonsense. Voting never works anyway. Never did. Voting's a waste of time. Because they've already picked the president. Family, the political system is corrupted beyond imagination. By design. It's silly to see all these things going on. Now, we have the utmost confidence of our superiors, or supposed to. If I hear somebody is a general and he's a Knights of Malta member, he is dirty as yesterday's laundry. Worthless. I don't care if he's an admiral, a four-star general, I don't care if he's got a Medal of Honor, don't matter. He's tarnished it. Doesn't even deserve it. Don't care what he did, because he turned his back on Americans. During the time of Iraq, some deployments, there was clear rules of engagement at one time. And if you felt your life is threatened, you respond with force to include deadly force. It's a police action of sort. Korea, Vietnam. So the rules are a little foggy. But at one time, it was like, if you feel your life is threatened, deadly force, then you use deadly force. But beyond that, they patrolled areas of operation with the knowledge that if they ever radioed troops in contact, the request for air and artillery support would be approved. No problem, right? During the latter part of the Iraq War, the first one, it kind of quietened down a little bit. Some of them never fired their weapon. It seemed that the war was won. That changed, though. It was called the Forgotten War, around 2006 time frame. But today, whole big different ball game. But what's not forgotten is the ones that go over there that I'm alluding to now. And we're not winning the war. We're losing people. Rules of engagement make sure you don't win. That's the purpose of rules of engagement at the highest level. When those troops, those Marines and soldiers, leave that wire, head for patrols, they have been facing increasing attacks from a determined enemy that's controlled by the CIA, KGB, Mossad, MI5, MI6, controls the enemy. Always have. 7th Fleet, our own 7th Fleet, stopped the Free Chinese from crossing into Red China. Our own fleet protected Red China. How about that? We provided in Vietnam the glycerol factory for the Soviets to make glycerol to give the VC, which used as detonators in the booby traps, accounted for 50% of casualties in Vietnam. We provided them the necessary means. We're under control of the Vatican. The Jesuits, the Council of Foreign Relations. They got it. That's how it really works, to keep the battle going. That's what they did to the Russian soldiers in Afghanistan. Same thing. The Russians are no better than the Americans at the high level. But instead of being afraid of might, the U.S. firepower, enemy soldiers use the rules of engagement and restrictions on air support against us. Faced with a split-second decision, whether to shoot, soldiers many times must hesitate or be investigated. Has that not come true now? A lieutenant recently may be going to prison because he protected his troops. They caused him to hesitate. Why? So they'll die. This is the purpose of it. It's about veterans' genocide. 2009, Battle of Ganjigal, you have excessive restrictions on air and artillery assets. What that means is excessive American deaths. In the movie that Chris Kyle, the sniper, the very beginning of it, talks about making one shot, you can be put in prison. You hesitate, that kid could pull out of an RPG, throw it, and kill about five or six Marines. That's how it really works. In one quote, we're willing to restrict ourselves to the point of helplessness to avoid even a possibility of civilian casualties, said one military officer, who the author here referred to as Evan, speaking on condition of anonymity. I personally watched the same man arm and disarm 12 improvised explosive devices over a week, with no strikes allowed due to collateral concerns, unquote. The idea is not to protect civilians. The idea is to kill off our soldiers. That's the purpose of it. The failure of the war does not test the hands of the brave troops who patrol every day. It lies with top military leadership, Congress, CEOs, your Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Jesuits is in your government, who has effectively choked our troops so badly, the mission has become almost impossible. Family, it goes back to Korea, Vietnam, and Iraq until today with one agenda, veterans' genocide. This is the purpose of it. Reduce our effectiveness so we cannot resist the North American Union. Am I getting this across? There's leaders and politicians continue to plead with the public that's weary to continue the support of the war. They say, as they said similarly during the war in Vietnam, that the deaths of our soldiers should not be in vain. Well, the death of a brother in arms, although tragic and equally heartbreaking, shouldn't be used as a political tool, neither. That's what they're using it for, besides to kill us off. Fallen heroes of the war are lost forever. They'll never see a battlefield again, or sometimes never see their family again. That should not be used to further justify its expansion. One of the authors I researched called it a sunk cost dilemma. It's a theory that presents a problem of having to choose between ending an activity immediately or choosing to continue with uncertain outcome that already involves considerable investment. So the investment, whether it's time, money, or the Afghan war, or whatever, lives, can never be recovered. It's called a sunk cost. But see, we have a problem. The problem is you have an enemy that doesn't even know that the Mossad and CIA is controlling it, because they have different cells. One cell don't know what the next cell is doing that controls them. Next cell don't know what that cell is doing. So the actual Islamic fighters don't know that they're working for the CIA. They don't even know it. Bin Laden was, Omar Sheikh. The names just go on and on. They don't know they're being controlled by the very people on the other side. They always work both sides. You see how ridiculous this is? So the Islamic fighters, they really believe they're fighting for Allah or whatever. They don't realize the CIA is controlling them at the highest level. Also, how crazy is that, huh? That's true. Well, I got some evidence for you. I won't make this long. I'll make it short to show you exactly what I'm talking about. For a fact, and I have the reports. Matter of fact, in the book, The Coming Balkan Caliphate, I was there in Kosovo. And they had a little incident in Macedonia when the National Liberation Army, the Albanian rebels, was going against the Macedonian, which I warned the State Department about, by the way, 2 months before it happened. And the guy at the embassy just laughed and walked away. I said, yeah, you will laugh and walk away, sucker. I said, you watch what happens. 2 months it did. It broke out civil war in Macedonia back in, 2001, 2002. Just like I told them. I kept track of their bases in Macedonia on my own little map. Had my own little thing going on. What happened one night toward the end of it, though, went on for months and months and months. When the last confrontations between Macedonians and the Albanian rebel forces, I'd received reports, kind of under the table. What happened was the National Liberation Army, the rebels, the terrorists, you might want to call them, was cornered in Arachevo in Macedonia. And the Macedonian forces were moving in on them one night. Well, here's the problem. You had 17 American advisors, MPRI, with the Albanian forces, rebel forces. 17 of them, to be exact, were training the rebels and advising them that night. Americans were with them. 17 of them. They're based in Virginia, I believe it is. You say, well, okay, so what? I said, well, I'll tell you what. You also had a unit of MPRI with the Macedonian forces. So we're working both sides at the same time. So they had to quickly, an emergency level, that night they had to quickly request from Camp Bondsteel, American base in my region, helicopter support, to pick up the 17 MPRI advisors, Americans, and get them out of there quick before the Macedonian forces moved in on them. That'd be a little embarrassing, wouldn't it? Well, they moved in on them, and 17 were picked up and moved out of Americans back to Bondsteel. What they did with the Macedonian, with the Albanian forces, the rebel forces, they put them in school buses and powdered their butts and sent them back to Kosovo, just like that. What a game. See, we always work both sides, always. And there's no different in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I'm going to tell you right now, a Mossad agent would kill an American soldier any day in the sniper and murder him. Not a problem. Matter of fact, I think it's what's going on. I believe from testimony and research, that's what's going on with a lot of the snipers killing our troops or Mossad, Israelis. Absolutely. To keep this war going. You know, despite being experts at warfare, the military, much like professional boxers, will never win a fight when their hands are tied behind their back. Unfortunately, it's our own generals and politicians that's done the tying. Quote, we've embraced the counterinsurgency, COIN, doctrine without remembering to maintain the true power of the U.S. military, which is unstoppable killing machine. Now the buzzwords are development and partnership. These things brief well, but they must be used hand in hand with a tolerant and permissive rules of engagement that allows us to flex our full potential when we need to, unquote. With family, it's not being done. It's been held back by design. Now you got a strategy withdrawal from President Obama. Sunk cost dilemma. Obama's a puppet like everybody else to the Vatican. You can't blame Obama either. He's nothing but a puppet, just like Putin and the rest of them are. They're puppets. They play a role. He's told what to do. Obama's doing this, Obama's doing that. He ain't doing it. He can be blamed, yeah, because he's just a party to it. But he's not the one controlling it. The Jesuits are. The Council of Foreign Relations, they are. They tell Obama what to do, what he won't do. Now, that's a fact. The Council of Foreign Relations tells our government what they will do and what they won't do. Did y'all know that? Now, my regular listeners, you already know that, don't you? You already know that. A lot of people don't realize that. And even Hillary confirms it, by the way, that the CFR controls our government. It's pretty hard for some people to take because they can't grasp it. She comes up for president. Oh, boy. How about this?
Oh, thank you very much, Richard, and I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future. I mean, Richard.
Right from her own mouth. Let me put it like this. Wouldn't that be a hoot if she runs for president and has old Wesley Clark as her vice president, a Rhodes Scholar, took a blood oath against America, Powderpuff Clark? Wouldn't that be a hoot? Well, see, I got evidence for everything I tell you. But you need to check everything I say and challenge it. One of the Fallujah 2004 from research I did, and I was never there. The enemy, the fighters, also being used as cannon fodder by their own people, by our own CIA and Mossad, controlling them, MI5, MI6, British intelligence. They control them too. We're fighting, but the Marines keep coming, said a frantic Fallujah insurgent to another fighters and intercepted radio communication. We're shooting, but the Marines won't stop. We need to stop lying to ourselves. Because we trust our leaders. And our leaders are selling us out at the highest level, and leaders that are work with our leaders, other generals that are not secret society members, they go along with it because they don't understand the big picture. Now, you can, to a certain point, blame whatever president is in control because they're the ones kowtowing to the CFR. U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan are forced to fight a two-front war. And before each deployment, these soldiers understand fully that day after day, they'll do battle against relentless terrorists and shifting loyalties and unspeakable hatred. You'll have an Afghan soldier turn around and start shooting, just like in Vietnam. You don't know who's who, what's what. So one minute you're walking and you got an Afghan soldier with you, another minute he turns around and shoots you. Now what are they doing? Well, Chris Kyle was killed by a Marine. under MK Ultra. That's assassination by CIA. No doubt about that. Well, over there, you don't know who's going to turn on you. Vietnam, you had to put, had to identify as a target inside your own wire, anywhere the North, the South Vietnamese was, had a post. You had to be able to target them because you didn't know when they were going to turn a gun on you. Children would come up, you don't know whether they're walking up to you to give you something or say, give me a candy bar or something or kill you. That's how they did it. Our government's incessant tidying of already restrictive rules of engagement. It compounded by the failed counterinsurgency strategy known as winning hearts and minds. And it worked too well. You know, our best and brightest come home in body bags and coffins, drugs in them, just like they did in Vietnam. They have a life insurance policy, too, they don't tell you about. That each time our soldiers die, the government gets to pay the life insurance policy. Yeah, buddy. They make money off the death of our soldiers and Marines. Something they don't tell you about. They have another monetary source that I've talked about before, but that's another story. Except for value. But while they come home in body bags, politicians, lawyers, high-ranking military personnel dying over white linen, tablecloths, writing, modifying, remodifying these lethal rules to kill us off. Rules that favor the enemy rather than the American soldier. And rules so ridiculous that they're difficult to even believe till you hear the same stories over and over again from those returning from battle. I know one story where I would question this. I probably haven't been over there long. They'd probably trash me out of there because I will question orders in a heartbeat. If I'm responsible for a company, you darn right I will. They were told that if the soldiers were told, in one case, if they would kill an enemy soldier with a knife, they'd get a 4-day pass. When I heard that, I said, what kind of nonsense is that? I mean, you would kill with whatever you had if you were in a hand-to-hand situation, but hold off to kill him with a bullet, but I want to find me one I can kill with a knife, or I just make one up. I just kill that sucker there and I get a 4-day pass off. That's what would happen. That's how low it's gotten. Because they wanted to enhance and exacerbate the post-traumatic stress. They knew that those troops would want 4-day passes. So they'd wait to get up close and personal. That's going to cause deaths on your troops. I couldn't believe when I heard that. I said, just for that reason. You're taught to use a knife, sure. But not just to get a 4-day pass. To hold off, save a bullet and use a knife and you get a 4-day pass. What kind of nonsense is that? As a rule of engagement. One Army Ranger said, in a quote, I had to get out. I have a family who needs me. I didn't join to be sacrificed. I joined to fight. The decision came shortly after he lost a close friend to the rules of engagement. He went on to explain that the Taliban had attempted to ambush on his friend's squad, but quickly realized that they were in a battle they couldn't win and began retreating. While chasing them, the U.S. soldiers were ordered not to engage due to the slight chance the Taliban had laid down their arms as they ran through some type of shack. While arguing with leadership at the Joint Operations Center of the JOC, his friend was shot and killed. As a Navy SEAL who left his job only a few years shy of full retirement and said the following, quote, I got out because I couldn't take it anymore. We need to explain how much reckless danger we were being exposed to, and they told us we were being illogical, unquote. Boy, does that sound familiar? And that type of response has actually generated a growing compromise of confidence between war fighters and the senior military leadership. I experienced this in a semi-peacetime condition in Kosovo. In my capacity, I had to go out in the field, and I, myself, and a Greek democratization officer and a Russian lieutenant, we kind of got ourselves in a pickle. We ran across about 7 or 8 rebels out there. They surrounded us and told us nobody could speak English except me, and I speak American, I don't speak English. So they had to, held us there and said, "You stay here." They went and got somebody who could speak English, and I'm sorry, Russian. And so they were speaking Russian to Albanian, and back to it got crazy. They said, "Don't you come back here no more." I said, "I won't." We reported that. It's just a game. And while we were there, I saw a car leaving the compound where they were and had 3 or 4 what they call TMK members that were going back to Kosovo from Macedonia. I mean, Serbia. They were connecting the TMK, which is KLA members, with the rebels in Serbia. And they were communicating. They were together, and they would go back to the American side, back and forth. Oh, man. Like nothing. You know, 73% of all U.S. deaths in Afghanistan took place since 2009. And the pattern has been completely ignored by Congress and the White House and apparently the Department of Defense, and now I'm telling you why. In the first seven plus years of the war in Afghanistan, October 2001 and December 2008, they lost about 630 U.S. soldiers around there. And by early 2009, the year after, the administration authorized the implementation of the CON, the counterinsurgency operations, and the next 5 years, the U.S. toll would skyrocket, 2,292. 73% of all U.S. deaths took place since 2009. In the first 7 years, plus years of Afghanistan, 2,638 U.S. soldiers were wounded in action. And then 42 months after that, from 2009-2012, an additional 15,036 suffered the same fate. According to research and testimony, you know, there's concern over being killed due to policies, rules of engagement. Weighs heavy on the minds of those who have spoken, come out and talked. This is why they're trying to keep it quiet. But now they want to go anti-war. To bring peace under the New World Order. That's the tricky part. Oh, they're forming a U.S. revolution. And you know that Obama has changed the rules of engagement many times. Of course, advised by the higher-ups. He's part of our takedown, there's no question, but he's a puppet. Remember that. Responsible, yes. Still a puppet. Don't stop at him as being the dictator. Go all the way to the Vatican, the Illuminati, your joint chief of staff, your Council of Foreign Relations. There, now you're talking. They tell Obama what to do. But you know, the last thing a war fighter should ever be concerned with and forced to experience is unnecessary fear. Fear causes hesitation. And when you hesitate, it creates a flag-draped casket. And these flag-draped caskets create fatherless and motherless children, widowed wives, and childless parents. Because they want to reduce our effectiveness. It's all about veteran genocide by our own government, controlled by the secret societies and the Vatican. Am I driving it home yet? See, our heroes deserve the right to fight with swift hands, clear minds, and confident hearts. Not to be held back. Now they're afraid to move, afraid they're going to be put in jail because they do something they're told to do, hesitate, and they die, and that's what they want. In a police action. It's being orchestrated. So what general out there, what colonel, master sergeant, what congressman, have the courage to go against the system? What about the public that's recipient of these returning veterans? You're blaming them for what? We're trained to trust, to fight for our country. And you blame us? Why? Yet you elect these idiots that are Freemasons at the highest level that dump on their own Freemasons, by the way. People aren't getting it. They're not understanding what's really going on. You can't blame Chris Kyle. You can't blame Pat Tillman. You can't blame the troops at all. It's not them. They believe they're doing the right thing. They just don't understand this real conspiracy that's kept from them. You know, I do recall. I got out in 87, 12 years. Went to D.C. as a government contractor. I got a position there with the State Department, Department of Energy, whatever. Good salary. And I remember that the Iraq War came up around 1990s, and I was not getting along with civilians at all. I didn't like civilians. From 87, 88, 89, I just had this thing about civilians. I just didn't like them. You know, I go out in town and I do my thing, whatever, but I just didn't like, I was totally into the Marine Corps. When I got out, I had a hard time adjusting, and I hadn't been to combat. I had a hard time adjusting. I drank for another 2 years. I fell off the wagon and got on the wagon, whatever you want to call it, for about 2 years. Man, at my age in the late 30s, 40s, I was causing a lot of trouble in D.C., let me tell you, 87, 88, 89. I was not a happy camper. And then I was training law enforcement in a different thing. You had to hold back then. You had to, rules of engagement were different, you know, escalation of force. But before, man, you kill right off. But training cops and law enforcement and physical security and government contracts, you had to train them in the use of the force. And escalate. And so forth. Anyway. I remember that in 1990, 91, Iraq broke out, thereabouts. And I said, oh my gosh. I said, I called my colonel up, he's still in. I won't give his name, but he's a colonel then, Fulbert colonel. I said, Colonel, I gotta get back in. There's another war, I gotta get back in. This is back in 1991, 92. He said, Tom, you can't come back in. I said, why can't I come back in? Because you'd never make it. I said, what do you mean I'd never make it? He said, because it's too political now. I said, I'm getting out. I'm retiring. I'm getting out of here. He said, you know, I don't believe in politics, man. I'm sticking up the wazoo. He said, you'd never make it because it's too political now. It's too controlled, too political, too administrative. I remember that now, 1990s. It changed. Even the Marine Corps. Well, they got us to where the message is, if you dare use your training or your gut instinct, if you have the misfortune to fight for your life, desire to kill the enemy, there's a good chance you'll be punished and go to jail for it. It's very confusing to your training, and I know, because I've been the training, I've done the training. I did the brainwashing. Had to. We're counting on the American public, the American patriot, for that response of defending and all this, but not realizing that the enemy is created by our own government, controlled by the Vatican. It's all different. The reality is completely different. How do you get across to veterans? How does one veteran get across to others to let them know what's really going on? That's not easy. It's really hard. Because I know how the brainwashing works. You had to. You have to do it. So they respond to orders immediately. Or take over when your commander got killed. I made sure my platoon sergeant and my lieutenants were trained that if I got myself killed, or my platoon sergeant, if I was a platoon commander, you know, you're out there in front, man, you're liable to die. So when you die, you got somebody to take over. Okay. You got to make sure they're trained. You can't hesitate. Well, go into the, when you get a chance, check out those oaths. You need to read them. The Knights of Malta, what they really say. They take an oath to God. Jerry Boykin is a Knights of Malta. He's a high-level chancellor. These people are traitors. It just befuddles my mind. How that works. Rules of engagement. Some of y'all may be asking, what are rules of engagement? You know, we fought World War II in 45 months and allegedly won it, but we really didn't. They just brought 10,000 Nazis over after 1945. We just brought them over. We said, y'all come on over now, yeah? Yeah. Operation Paperclip. We brought Hitler over. He didn't die. No, sir. They're going to kill one of their second cousins. He came over to Argentina, then he came up north and went to America. Look at the bloodline of Merkel. Oh, watch what happens. Von Braun for the rocket program and psychological warfare experts. And 10,000 Nazi experts came over to America, in South America and Argentina. Brought them over, Operation Paperclip, 1945. The UN was formed, 1945, 48. Takedown of America began, 1945, 1948. Brought Chris home. He got it? It all started, 1945, 1948. Here comes Korea. It's all worked out. Same name, same agenda, everything. Ready to go. All the wars made it look like we won, but we didn't. Won the battles, but lost the wars since 1700s. Boy, that ticks me off a little bit. See, rules of engagement basically tell armed persons the circumstances under which they're allowed to use deadly force. Rules of engagement. Now, for the police, they encounter individuals or smart groups of slightly armed individuals, or Sometimes if you're dealing with a drug cartel and it's got automatic weapons that they got from CIA. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The rule is to use minimum force necessary in police action. And that's even to the point of letting the bad guys escape if necessary to avoid injury to innocent bystanders. So you got a serious conflict going on here. So typically, force may only be used when a person who points a gun at a policeman or a civilian or lunges at someone with a knife or other firearm, non-firearm, but still a deadly weapon. The military rules of engagement have been shoot on sight. Not only clearly identified armed enemy military personnel, but also suspected locations of such enemy personnel. Military useful vehicle, buildings or material within publicly identified war zones. So I went from teaching how to kill on site to teaching police how to use the escalation of force, the deadly force, which can, well, someone with a knife at 20 feet away, family, that individual charging a police officer can reach him 1.5 seconds and stab him. So you teach your police officers to draw and fire in 1.5 seconds, but to do what's called exit the zone. In other words, move your body in an arc, causing the individual coming at you to have to change his direction, which gives you time to get a bead, center mass, and fire. You just don't draw like Matt Dillon and say, because by the time you draw your weapon, get a bead, and pull the trigger, center mass, he's already on top of you within a second and a half. Which means you may get a bullet in him, but his adrenaline, or drugs, or drunk, whatever, to keep him going, his heart still beating, will stab you and you'll die too. So you got to move, you got to exit the zone. So we teach him this. So a situation can turn deadly when it doesn't look deadly in a second. Feet, 1.5 seconds. He'll stab you with a drilling pumping. Or you can talk him out of it. Now, I'm looking tomorrow to talk about the National Police Force that's coming. It kind of ties into this. But you know, typically, force may only be used against a person who points a gun at a policeman or a civilian or who lunges at someone with a knife, some other weapon. Then it gets a little sticky. The officer must be able to recognize that this weapon can kill. Can't be a cell phone. Got trouble now. You see, now you got a problem. Now that's typical rules of engagement. Basic, but World War II rules of engagement. During World War II, if you believe the enemy was a particular area war zone, the front lines, the sea, the enemy at land territory, you fire at the place using small arms, artillery, bombs, etc. Until you're convinced there's no longer any live enemy there. Yeah, you see, you don't sit there and escalate force. You escalate the minute you get there. Of course, it's going to hurt civilians. That's a given. That's why they just get out of the way. Long lines of civilian and refugees. They've got to get moving, man. You're caught in a line of fire, you're going to die. Streaming down roads to get away from the front where an everyday occurrence, World War II. Kosovo, anywhere, about anywhere, really. Victory after victory. Civilians died. That's the way war is. Problem is, the Illuminati in America and Europe made money out of it. Fallujah, well, from research I did, you rarely had civilians fleeing a battle zone. You went to Fallujah, they did, in 2004, and they saw civilians getting the hell out of the way, pardon my expression, and they won there. Zawakawi was reduced to whining, and the Iraqis for not supporting him there, and before he fled for his life, supposedly they killed him with a bomb, allegedly. There's a heck of a war, I understand, the battle in Fallujah. But then they come back. They attack it again. Then they came back a third time, attack it a third time. There was a detailed discussion of the Iraqi rules of engagement, the problems and death and injuries they caused, and the troops' feelings about them. You'll find it in the book, We Were One. Sometimes they had the rules of destroy the village in order to save it. We got to suspend the American Constitution. Have a military dictatorship in order to give you rights. Say what? Run that by me again. That's how they do it. It's called double talk. Eventually they would win, and there wasn't anybody there to come back to, destroying a village in order to save it. That makes a whole lot of sense. Dropping the Agent Orange on the rice fields to destroy the food of the VC and so forth killed the people too, and our troops, which was the purpose of it in Vietnam. Kill off the baby boomers. That was the purpose of it. The sole purpose of it. Americans would have been perfectly willing to fight the battle out in the desert to avoid harming civilians. Desert Storm, they did it in 1991. Village would not be destroyed because Americans were eager to destroy villages. Rather, it was destroyed because the enemy didn't care whether the village was destroyed. And it was they, not the Americans, who destroyed a lot of them in order to save it. Or, more to the point, save their own butts from American fire. They used the civilians as targets and cover and so forth. Every war has its own rules of engagement. But I'm telling you, the rules of engagement are used to slow you down, to increase casualties, not decrease them. Because there is a veteran genocide going on. So we will not have significant resistance to the New World Order and the North American Union and the Chinese, Russian, and UN troops already here. FDR was going to do that in 1943. I get a quote from him. He's going to declare dictatorship in 1943. Which means he was planning on using U.S. military forces to enforce the dictatorship. Can you imagine? How stupid was that? I get a quote from him, March 4th, 1939, confirming it. Behind closed doors in front of three congressional committees. And then I found out from another investigation they were going to allow Hitler to march on in and the Japanese go through to the western coast. That had been the sixth phase. That really came in the United States unopposed. A lot of Americans don't know that. 1960s, they were planning a military dictatorship. 1972-74, Nixon was planning one with General Cushman. Oh, yeah. 83-84, Reagan. Oliver North, Knights of Malta, Operation Northwoods. 1999, Wesley Clark was supposed to tick off World War III in June of 1999 at Pristina Airport against the Russians. That's supposed to tick off because I was there in November of 1999, and they were supposed to start a war over there, but didn't happen. Remember Y2K? That was what it was all set up for. By the year 2000, we're supposed to be in a new world order. Didn't happen. Man, America's, I have no idea what's going on. Look up Wesley Clark. Plus sign. The man who tried to start World War III. And thanks to a general in the British Army, British mechanized, he refused an order by Wesley Clark, and we avoided World War III in June 1999. They want a war so bad to take over us, it's not even funny. It's all connected. Now, tomorrow I'm going to continue. I'm not done yet. I got a lot more to tell you. And I have a lot more tomorrow. Well, family, we'll remind you that we're played up at highportradio.net as a favor. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, randomly plays my broadcast and Bible studies in his network, highportradio.net. He's got sponsors up there in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And you can look on his website and see if you can use their sponsors. Or a lot of folks are going out of business up there, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Small companies. That's a little disturbing. Anyway, my website is watchforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchful for Jesus. You can visit those anytime. Family, I know here in about a minute, I think TalkStream Live is going to shut down. And then I'll still keep talking here for a few more minutes on my website. And then I'll be gone by 6. And then tonight, Bible study from 8 to 9. We'll have it again tonight. This is Thursday, isn't it? Oh, Thursday, the 19th of February. I'm going to talk tomorrow about rules of engagement in more detail, some false flags operation that's shaped our world, some methods of attack on American troops, and I want to talk a little bit, introduce you all to the coming National Police Force that they've been hanging over our heads. A lot of people don't even know about. Made up of felons. 185,000 plus to take over the functions of law enforcement in the North American Union. A lot of people don't know about that. Multi-jurisdictional task force. It's called something else now. They got it all set up. They fail. Because, family, the tribulation is coming. They'll never achieve it. It will not happen. But we got to go through a lot of mess before it happens, though. You got to keep that in mind. That Bible is going to come true. And it's going by the book. Because they have to. They can't deviate. Jesus Christ is the answer. I talked about that the past two nights in Bible study. Literally. He is the answer. 2 Chronicles 7:14. But when the government doesn't do it, individually, accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the bottom line. That's what it really boils down to. And the veterans, to get this AA thing going on, all these other contact groups, these committees are forming, it's to slow you down. It's between you and Jesus Christ. You have to forgive yourself for whatever you did over there. You got to forgive yourself. And then